Wednesday, September 24th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today on the program, we continue our series in the book of Romans. We're in chapter 9, starting at verse 30 with a message titled, Israel and the Righteousness of God.
When it comes to Israel's failure, it was that they rejected a fundamental truth in the Bible. A fundamental truth in the Bible. Something they should have understood. Something that God took great care to make clear to them. It is something that you know very well. It is that anyone is saved in this life, if they're going to be saved, it is by faith alone, in Christ alone.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
Well, I invite you to turn tonight to Romans chapter 9, and we continue our study in Romans, and we are in verses 30 all the way through, moving into chapter 10, verse 4 tonight. That's found on page 1124 in the Bibles that are in front of you. Again, Romans chapter 9, page 1124. We pick up at verse 30. This is the word of the Lord. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it. That is a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They've stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. And there will end tonight the reading of God's word. Well, one of the great questions that is often asked about national Israel, especially as they became a nation again in 1948, is whether God is going to do something in that nation and before the second coming of his son in glory is going, he is going to bring them in and there will be a mass conversion of national Israel to the Lord. It's amazing how much that question is asked. It's amazing how much we are fixated on that particular question. And I don't see the Apostle Paul as fixated on that question. I see the Apostle Paul as we'll see in Romans 11, amazed that even now there is a remnant according to the election of grace coming in. But I think what we see captured tonight as we've been looking at this grand subject, which is so important to all of the Bible and our faith, is to understand what happened to national Israel. We can't understand Christianity and appreciate what Christianity is until we've really had some kind of understanding of what happened to them. The question before the apostle and what he wanted to help us with is to have us consider the great reasoning and the reasons for why Israel failed in this regard. You think of this long section in election, this doesn't throw out and it does not remove the very real culpability of national Israel and where the blame lies. And that's where the Apostle Paul is helping tonight. And this is why it's so important. As we get into Romans 10, we'll see the importance of preaching, the importance of God sending preachers, how faith is created, why it's all set up this way. But this is his concern tonight. His concern in this particular section of Romans is to have us think about where Israel went wrong. What happened to them? You saw at the beginning, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. They need to be saved. This was the issue that they would not submit to. So Paul is really driving home the ultimate reason that Israel as a nation was cut off and rejected by the Lord. If you have any history of dispensationalism, you know that they have essentially taught that Israel rejected the Lord and the Lord went to plan B. And that's not what we have seen. Plan B being the bringing in of the Gentiles. That's not what we have seen. What we saw last time was it was always God's plan to include the Gentiles. This was not plan B. This was the promise to Abraham, right? And we saw glimpses of that and we saw foreshadowings of that in the Old Testament that we looked at last time with Hosea. But it all comes down to something you know very well. When it comes to Israel's failure, it was that they rejected a fundamental truth in the Bible. A fundamental truth in the Bible. Something they should have understood. Something that God took great care to make clear to them. It is something that you know very well. It is that anyone is saved in this life. If they're going to be saved, it is by faith alone, in Christ alone. It's that truth. It is that truth that permeates the entire Bible. Don't ever take it for granted. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. These are beautiful gospel truths. These did not just originate at the Reformation. They were recovered at the Reformation. These are truths that the Bible taught all from the beginning. And this was very important. So Israel failed, and Paul will summarize this tonight. You could say, well, if that's the central thesis of the central reasoning why Israel failed, he breaks it down for us to show us this in three sort of ways when he says, Israel failed because it pursued righteousness on their own terms, essentially. And then they failed because they stumbled at their Messiah. And then they failed, number three, because they refused their Messiah's righteousness. All coming back to that central thing that I'm developing here tonight, that they rejected salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So those three sort of emphases that you see arise out of this text, which I plan to walk you through for a minute, illustrate this and demonstrate this in national Israel. So this is really the gospel applied in the sense of Paul now taking everything that he's built from the first part of Romans 1 through 8 and explaining the gospel to us and now applying that failure of Israel to receive this gospel. That's what we have here. So it's almost a lesson now, an application to show us the results of what happened with Israel. And that leads us to verse 30 with the very important question that the apostle presents after showing from Hosea that it was always God's plan to bring together Jew and Gentile as one nation, one holy nation, and one people. You read in verse 30, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith. What shall we say then? Well, Paul had said at the end of 24, God has called Jews and Gentiles together. And now he summarizes how the Gentiles were brought in, and he summarizes Israel's failure. That's his goal tonight. His goal is to explain Israel's failure. What do we say then? That the Gentiles who did not, notice this, who did not pursue righteousness have obtained to it. They obtained to that righteousness that is by faith. But that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. So it didn't succeed in trying to establish her own righteousness by the law. That's essentially what he just said. It's very simple. This is what he's been developing. What he just said is very important for understanding all of Scripture, of course, was that everything that we ever learned in the Bible about any figure, just pick your figure, Noah, Jacob, David, Joseph, Abraham, you could go through. If you could take Romans 4 and implant this right here, then you would see exactly what he's saying to us, that they all, when especially speaking of Abraham and David, believed God, and it was accounted to them for righteousness. The Bible showed, and Romans has showed, that we have to have the same faith as Father Abraham. Faith. And he said that. Listen to this in this context now. Knowing then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. All the Gentiles of the earth will be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. That's not new. Attaining the righteousness that comes by faith, that's not new in the new covenant. That's as old as the old covenant. And well before that. This is what was announced in the Garden of Eden. Now, this is important because if you can boil all of life down, you have the scripture showing us two kinds of righteousness. Human righteousness and God's righteousness. The law promised by way of perfection righteousness. Paul said there's a standard. It's not just the hearers of the law who are justified, but the doers. So if you want to be justified, there was one way. Do the law. And that was not a nice suggestion. The demand of that was perfection. We've looked at all this. This is why Leviticus 18:5, that principle, is in some way sprinkled throughout the New Testament to teach us this. That even down in verse 10, verse 5, for Moses, look at this, look at verse 5 of chapter 10. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. There it is, there's Leviticus 18. Do this and live. Well, what went wrong with the Jews? Paul said in chapter 3, we should look at them under the law. And remember what he said? It should have an effect on the Gentiles, on the whole world. They were handed the law of God. They were handed the oracles. That's a special people who were given the oracles of God. They were given directly the oracles of God. And Paul says that should stop up the mouth of the whole world in its own righteousness. Why? Because Israel did not attain. Paul's building on this. They did not seek to have the righteousness that God demands by faith in Christ, but by the works of the law. That's the simple truth of this tonight. They looked at the law and they thought, this is God's holy standard. Of course we'll do it. Of course we should do it. Now, do you see the challenge there? Of course you should. Of course you should. But what was the very first and primary intention God added the law at Sinai? For transgressions. To show transgressions. To explain and show what's really going on in the human heart. And that's why you look at Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, look what he did. He took adultery and he went way down into the heart, or theft. You can go through the 10 words, and he exposed everyone in the depths of the breaking of the law. So we're not really even here talking about, we're not talking about what we're used to talking about as Christians, of what we call the third use of the law, which the third use of the law is a gratitude way of the law. And even in the gratitude way of the law, we're not pursuing the law to try to establish our own righteousness. We're saying thank you, and we want, because we love the law. We love God's law. The law is good. The law is right. We want to do the law. But that's because we've already been delivered. Now, Paul's explaining then what happened to Israel. See how important this section is right here tonight? It really is crucial to the whole book. They did not, now think of this morning, this is my beloved son, listen to him. They did not listen carefully to what God said about them. God was constantly sending prophets. He was constantly sending preachers. He gave a whole sacrificial system Think of the Levitical sacrificial system. Was that fun? That was not fun. It was bloody. It taught them things. It taught them about the scrupulous kind of atonement and sacrifice that needed to be made for them because of sin. And the blood of bulls and goats didn't cover it. The Lord taught them constantly. Think of these things we take for granted. Think of what happens in worship on Sundays. We read the law and we confess our sins. That is so important. God taught them constantly to do that. Confess your sins to me. It's all over the Old Testament. I will abundantly pardon. Come now, let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your skins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What did Israel do to the prophets? You have summary statements from our Lord. They killed the prophets. They rejected the message. They didn't understand the purpose of the law. And God gave the law for what end? Primarily, so that they would look to the righteousness of their God, which would be supplied for them. God was giving this message throughout the Old Testament. You know, it wouldn't have been fun to be David and have your story plastered all over the scripture for all of time, would it? But I think David says, I submit to that because this is the core message of scripture. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Always against you and you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. And the Lord forgave him. Two kinds of religion. Israel directly had the oracles of God. And what it should have done was produce in them a great awakening so that they would look at God's righteous standard. They would recognize the sin that was always in them, that they were constantly provoking the Lord, a stiff-necked people. They were always transgressing the law. They needed a righteousness. They needed a righteousness wholly outside of themselves. And this is why the Lord said, listen, I will circumcise your hearts. I want truth in the inward parts. Now, maybe just to apply this for a minute, this is my concern in Christianity today. The Christian community. The understanding of Christianity has become so elementary today. The depth of God's word and these basic concepts are almost so foreign, and they're not touched upon in people's lives and Christians' lives, so that we're so surface. We are so on the surface that we don't understand even the basic distinctions between law and grace. Take our children. Imagine a teacher who doesn't understand any of this teaching our children Christianity. He has all the students in front of her, him. The command is, let's take the command, go and love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Imagine this as an Israelite teacher. What would be fundamentally different for us if we have two kinds of righteousness here? The Israelite teacher, and this is what I worry about in Christianity today, would tell the little children, go out and do this. Well, of course. Of course. That's, of course, our default position. Go do this. Go be better. It's like there's no conception in the way it's taught that of the purpose the law was given to begin with. And so this alone facilitates, now think of the consequence of this, the greatest amount of deadness in our communities. Because it's as if this truth cannot be comprehended. There's no understanding that our children need a righteousness they don't have. Well, if that's true, you're framing things a little bit differently. It's like this concept is lacking. It's as if the solution of Christianity is just being a better Christian. That's the depth of our Christianity today. Don't do this. Don't do that. Our children are pretty smart. They're often much smarter than we think. You know, many children grow up hating this environment because they just think it's a bunch of rules that no one can keep. This is what we've done in evangelicalism, and it's definitely seeped into the Reformed world. So they look at our environment and say, oh, I just need out of this constrictive environment. It's just always about being better, being better, being better. That's burnout. Now take someone who does not understand this great distinction. The law, which we are trying to pursue or establish our own righteousness, which maybe not even realizing we're doing it, just to try to be better Christians, that is portrayed as the be-all and end-all of Christianity. That's so problematic, isn't it? What is that? It's not Christianity. Versus the righteousness that comes by faith. What does it say to our students? Children, you need a lot of help today. You need a lot of grace today. Do you know that you have broken God's law? Do you know you need to be saved? Do you know that you are sinners? I have really good news for you. Do you know why Jesus came? Because he loved you. And he came to forgive you. And I know you're struggling too. I know you're carrying burdens too. I know you have guilt too. And you need Jesus too. And he came for you. They're radically different approaches. A.J. Jacobs, the agnostic Jewish journalist. Did you hear this story? He's
written a book. Well, that's all the time that we have for you today here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope to see you again next time for part 2 of this message in the book of Romans. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you.